and enjoy company with our loved ones. But I am glad that you came here this evening. I'm also really happy to see those that I have. Some of the Shank families here, they're almost like family to me. Our son married into that family, and here they are. He told me yesterday, he said, you're going to see some of the Shanks there. I said, thank you for warning me. Yeah, so I'm glad that they are here this very first day. Another thing, yes, please move up here. I won't bite. No, I better not say that. I might, but I won't make it so hard on you, okay? So come front and make yourself at home. I was introduced already, and people are wondering, some of you are wondering, what nationality I am. I am Puerto Rican. I'm full-blooded Puerto Rican. I was born in Puerto Rico. Maybe sometime I'll give you a little more about that. But I had to learn English, and it might sound like it sometime. So if I switch to Spanish, that means I didn't know how to say it in English. So you better know, right? Now, I have my wife here who knows very good Spanish, and I met at least two people that talked to me a little bit in Spanish. Happy to be here. And I trust that we can be open with each other. One of the things that about preaching is the preacher can say what he wants, right? No. I can't say what I want. I'm going to say what God wants me to say, all right? And I trust you, bear with me, because the Lord has given us the word, and the word is real. And I wanted to do something here. That one song that we sang, what was it, 170 that he picked, right? 170. We need to learn a few things as Anabaptist people, and that is this. It's the song says, oh, Jesus, how long? How long? Ere we shout the glad song. What's the glad song? What is it? Oh, did you miss it? Christ returneth. Hallelujah. You know, and we're not, I know us Puerto Ricans are a little charismatic, and I don't apologize for that, by the way. But I think we need to show the world that we mean business with God, and we're not afraid to show it. But they said, shout, Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to say that. I'm not going to sing it. I want you to say it that way. Christ returneth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, just say it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It ends. Christ returneth. You know, the Lord is coming soon. I've met a lot of people in the last while that, you know, they said, what's going on in the world? We're going to be talking about that just a little bit in the message this evening. And but it's interesting. Why? What's going on? What's going on? All right. Let me start, because it will get dark earlier, right? What time is it? What time is it?
7:25.
7:25. How's that? 6:25. Oh. Then what time is it?
Now.
Huh?
Now.
What do you mean by now? I don't know who said it. I don't want to put you in a spot. But yeah, now. Now, what time is it? It's now. What time is it? Did you ever ask yourself that question? We were in Guatemala for a number of years, and Guatemalan people are dear to us. Yeah, children born in Guatemala. But it was always interesting to me if I would step out of the house and walk along the road, the dirt road, It was so interesting to watch people come to Brother Rene, and they'll say, Brother Rene, what time is it? So I look at my watch, and I would tell them what time it was. But I also would say this. I said, it's time you know the Lord. It's time you know the Lord. Then I would say, no, it's past time. It's past time. And this evening, I'd like for us to answer that question in your heart. What time is it? If you're here this evening and you're at the age of accountability and you know right from wrong, dear ones, what time is it? What time is it? I hear a lot of things about this is a terrible world. Is it? Yes, it is. It is terrible. And why? Because what time is it? As we read through the Bible, we soon find out, yes, that this world is in a bad way. What time is it? Yes, thank you. Now we can see. Yes. I hear that everywhere I go. Preacher, what do you say how our condition is? The Bible said, Jesus said, behold the fig tree. Look at it. And then it says, all trees. All trees. Look at them. Why? He wants us to learn a lesson. And God is sending a lot of things to the country called United States of America. Lots of things. Been in most of the Central and South American countries, preached in them, and I see it there as well, but more so in this country. People have become complacent, and Christians have become complacent. And dear ones, that can't be. That can't be that we do that. I hope you bear with me a little bit. I only started getting hoarse when I was singing here. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let me have a... Thank you. I'd like to tell you a story. A certain preacher had often went to a banker in New York to talk with him. This preacher went and he would... again and again implore that banker, who was a very well-to-do man, but that while he had all the world's good, he didn't have one thing. He didn't have Jesus Christ. And this preacher would plead, look, you know, you have to give your life over to Jesus Christ. You're going to have to understand that the way you're living is not approved of God. Again and again. And he lived also in the New York State. So he had a couple of hours to come down into the big city of New York City. But he would do that. They became close friends. And it was before the time of telephone. But the preacher would wire down a message for him. And this man would wire back to him. That's how they kept contact. One day this preacher woke up in the morning and the Lord was talking to him, and the Lord told him, go down to that man. But that preacher had a very busy time, and that preacher said, today of all days I have a long day. God came back, go. And he just felt he had to go. He got up and told his wife he's going to go. And he said, God told me to go, and I better go. So he went. It took him a couple hours to get there, like I had said earlier, because it was a distance. He hurried up into New York City. He ran all the way to the from the train station, all the way to the office of this man. And the man was at the door, and he was anticipating him. And when he saw the preacher, they both embraced, and he said, did you get my message? Did you get my telegram? No, he said, I didn't receive any telegram. Oh, I wired you one yesterday. He said, I didn't get. But I got a message from above. He said, I got a message from God. And what did he say? He said, come down and talk with you. And he said, oh, let's not hesitate. They went into this man's office. And for a number of hours, they were there together. And the preacher just opened up his heart and pled with the man. And the preacher cried. And the preacher said, would you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and Lord of your life? And he said, yes, I want to do that. That's why I wanted you to come. There's something that in my heart that doesn't let me rest. There's something that it seems like the Holy Spirit that you talked about before. He keeps knocking. He keeps knocking at the door. And he's saying, why don't you surrender all to Jesus Christ? Well, he did. He did. And they said, had a tremendous time in the office of that rich banker and that preacher because he did that. And then they got up after a while and they embraced. Now, not as two strangers. Now, they were brothers. And the banker said, now you're my brother. Now we're close. And they gave each other a hug. And both of them could hardly stop crying of the joy that they felt, especially that preacher. And as that preacher is standing by his friend, who is now brother, something happened. All of a sudden he gave a gasp, and he fell dead. He fell dead. Time! I'm looking at time! What time is it? That man was feeling that, the heartbeat, that God was telling him, it's time you get right with me. Yes, it's time. It's time you look at your life. It's time you bring it all out in the open. The man did so. And there the preacher was. He cried, of course he cried. But what would have happened if that preacher would have just delayed one more minute? It would have been way too late. God's timing is always perfect, right? Yes, it is. God's timing is perfect. It's perfect. But it's our timing. It's us as human beings. We don't look at timing as so important. I remember I sat where you sat. Yes, I did. Just like in the book of Ezekiel. Yes, I sat where you sat. And there I was. I didn't know much about Jesus Christ because it was just a swear word to me. But there was something that the Lord had worked in my heart. I heard a number of times the messages that came from the Mennonite pulpits. And that message was the same almost every time, Nathan. And it was about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I can still see that preacher. He comes over there. And I was sitting about, something about the layout here. I was sitting over there. This preacher would say, and he wants you. He wants you. Well, I don't like nobody pointing to me. I'm pretty fussy. Yes, the Lord's telling you to get up. The Lord is saying he loves you. And off he went. He would look the other way and he'd do the same thing. But he quickly come back over here like he was picking on me. Yeah. Yes, the Lord is saying you today. You today. The timing is perfect. And I don't know what, how this all was supposed to be. But I didn't care then at that time. All of a sudden, all I knew that something told me to get up and go to the front. And I got up and went to the front. Yes. And the preacher said something to the, you're going to have to, we'll talk later. You can confess your sins to the Lord. I was ready to do that then. So I went up to the podium that they had, and it had one of these in it. And I said, I'm going to tell them. And I told them all my sins, at least that I could remember. And let me tell you, it was not a beautiful story. But it was time for Renee to do that. See, because I lived a life where Renee gave orders. Renee didn't take orders. See, I was a gang leader for many years. So I gave him. I didn't take him. So I kept pushing Jesus back. When that call would come, I kept pushing him back. Now, I don't want this. Not now. Not now. I remember when there was a gentleman in church that took a liking to me and I to him. I wanted his grandpa. He was in the 80s already. And he would say, when you die in here, whoo, my guards went right up. Now, wait a minute. Don't talk to death to Renee. When you die in here, you give up. And you do what God tells you to do. Because Renee has to die. Renee has to die. Of course, I didn't understand what he was saying. But it didn't take me long. It didn't take me long. Because after I became a Christian, it was just so wonderful. Wonderful. I was ready not just proclaim it on the housetop. I was willing to go and do it anywhere and everywhere. I was in school at that time. And I don't know, it's like this Mennonite telephone. Y'all have a system that if one Mennonite knows it, for 9 chances out of 10 in the vicinity, everybody's going to know it, right? Well, I became a Christian, and when I became a Christian, the next day I went to school. And guess what? There was about 15, 20 boys waiting for me. Oh, so you're a holy roller, huh? So you're now a holy roller. I had no idea what they were talking about. A holy roller. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, but I am a Christian. Oh, you are. They all surrounded me, and they talked about giving me a beating and something like that. And Renee wasn't really beatable. But that's what they wanted to do, see. Yeah. Give me a beating. And I had books in my hand, and I said, no, wait a minute. I put my books down, and they said, okay. So they backed off a little bit because they knew how I was. And they knew I was a karate expert, plus I was lifting weights. I looked a little rough. Oh, no, it wasn't rough. My wife says they look like beasts. Okay. So, yeah, she didn't want to marry a beast, she says. Okay, so I stopped that. Now I have it in the middle. And it's her fault? No, it's not. I'm just, praise the Lord for the wife he gave me. But there I was. And all these young men. And you know what I did? I just put my hands in my pocket. Okay, what do you want to do? I said, I heard that someone said about a beating. They backed out, and it wasn't very long until they took switchblades out. And they came up to me, Nathan went across my face. I could have disarmed all of them in a hurry. I didn't. I just stood there. I just stood there. I didn't know what to do or what to say. I wanted to say something to him. I could have said, go to hell. Well, that wouldn't sound right. Not at that moment. Yeah. You're all going to go to hell. No. They finally realized I wasn't going to react. I wasn't going to react. Why? Because it was Jesus who was making the difference in my heart. And let me tell you something. You're going to get after me after a while because I like to use expressions that I hear in English. Okay, can I do that here tonight too? I hear this. I ask people, when you grew up, how did you grow up? Oh, I grew up Mennonite. And I go, no, you didn't. Oh, yeah, I grew up Mennonite. I come from a Mennonite home. I don't care, but you didn't grow up Mennonite. Am I right? Right, because it is time we understand it's not about who I am, how I grow. It's about my relationship with God. It's time we wake up. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3. This is the time. Time is wonderful and time is essential, but time is short. Yes? Time is short. And one thing, lest I forget to say it, Satan knows his time is short. He knows that. And that's why we come. Even so, if we cry out, even so, Lord Jesus, come. I'd like to read just a few verses in this chapter here. Starting in verse 1, we'll read a couple verses here. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time, verse 6, a time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. That word, hate, there is doesn't mean what we think, that if I can't get along with you, I can hate you. That's not what it's saying there. It, what is that word, love, in the Hebrew has the idea of loving less. Because we put God in the forefront. God is first in our life. But did you get all that? Time. We can read some more here in Ecclesiastes. But I'm not going to do that. A time. A time to live and a time to die. I'm going to tell you about, I've lived almost most of my life in the city until I met my wife. Then we moved out to the country where her parents live. But in the city, I had a friend. Before I was married, I had a friend. John was a neighbor to us. And John would say to me, our houses were right up against a row house, what we call a row house. And their porch was against our porch. And he sit out there in the summertime. And I go out there to talk to John. And I remember the first time I said to him, John, what is your relationship between you and God? And he looked at me and he kind of laughed a little bit. He said, you sure have spunk for a young man. Spunk. I'm not sure where he said that. Spunk. Yeah. He said, "You. I see you going up and down. You talk to people at your age. Some young men are doing something else." And I told him, "Well, I have done other things. And those other things were not good. I'm done with all of that." Oh. And I said, "But what about you, John?" Here he was a man that was in the upper 80s already. And he looked at me and he laughed and he said, "Well, Renee, I'm not a bad man. I'm not a bad man. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't use drugs. I'm not a womanizer. I don't go to questionable places. And I'm a good moral man." He said, "Now, don't you think that's a pretty good list?" "Yeah, but you didn't tell me the most important," I said to him. And I was getting a little excited. And he would say, if you "They're going to hear it in the other block." I said, "Well, I don't care." I said to him, "You forgot the most important thing is, but what about your relationship with Jesus Christ?" "Oh, he knows I do all those good things and he's going to just receive me onto heaven." Right? John, no! No, that's not what it is. But we have some people like that. And we have some plain people that think the same way. As long as I can do some good things, I'm all right. Brethren and sisters, what time is it? It's time we open our hearts and open our eyes before God. Because the Christian life is more than all of that. It's more than all of that. And this evening, are you, as a human being, realizing that? And that time is short. The time is short. Let me go back to John. Anyhow, I kept talking to John about every week. I mean, we were neighbors. Good morning. Well, John, yeah, I know what you're going to say. What am I going to say? Did I get right with God? Yes, did you? No, not yet. And this went on for a while. And then one day I come home from work, and my mother, who was with us at that time, says to me, you got a call from the neighbor that she wants you to call a number. And she gave me the number here that I recognize the telephone number. I said, that's the hospital. She says, well, I wondered because there was an ambulance today. Oh. So I called and I asked for his wife, and Dolly, she was her name. Yeah, she's here. And she answered the phone. She said, Renee, please come up. And John is dying. John is dying. I said, well, I just saw him yesterday. Yeah, but he's not good at all. They didn't know that he was so sick. So I hurriedly went to the hospital. Sharon went. When I got there, she was waiting for me in the waiting room. And she said, come quickly. He doesn't have a lot of time. I thought, well, this is something. So we went there, went to the room, and the nurse was right there putting cold compresses on his head and also on his feet. And I says, well, what's wrong? He said, he's dying. He's dying. So I quickly ran up to the side of the bed. I took both his hands and I said, John, how are you feeling? So that's a dumb question I even asked. Why? I said, the man was sick. Right? He said, I'm dying. Renee, I'm dying. I'm dying. And I said, I pled with him, John, it's not too late. He said, I'm dying. I'm dying. I said, John, it's still not too late. You're still talking. You're still breathing. The Lord wants you to be in His fold, John. It's not too late. And all the time, the nurse was trying to dip washcloth in cold water, ice water, and putting it on his feet. And then he says, I'm dying. He said, please. He said, put some cold compresses on me. Well, that the nurse was doing that faithfully. He says, I feel hot. Renee, I feel hot. Do something, he said. Do something. What was he going to do? I said, John, I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to really think, are you ready to meet your maker? John, the Lord has given you time to say, yes, I'm coming. I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve the Lord. John, and he you know what he said? Oh, I'm a good man, Renee. I didn't change. No, I said, you need the Lord. You need the Lord. And he's hanging on very hard in my hands. And then he kept saying, I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning. And he started yelling it, the top of his voice. I'm burning. I'm burning. You don't have to burn. I said, there's still time. I'm burning. Can't you feel it? Well, I can feel his hands. He was hot. He was hot. I'm pleading with him and helping him all the time. The nurse is down there at his feet trying to cool his feet. The last words I heard John say was, I'm burning. I'm burning. I'm burning. All of a sudden, there was a scream, and it was the nurse. She ran out of there, out of that room. She said, the moment you came in, I felt that there was a battle in that room. And I couldn't see what it was, but I sure could feel it. She says, well, he said he's burning. Whatever happened? I said, that happens because he has been numerous of times told about giving his heart to Jesus and he won't do it. When we delay, there comes a time that we will meet our Maker. The question is, are you ready? Am I ready? And you say, well, I'm a good Christian. I'm part of this church here. Oh, my preachers will talk real good about me. I'm not asking. That's not important to me. What does God say to you? What does that God say? Right? That's the most important thing in life. And you know what, dear ones? We keep putting it off again and again and again. When the Bible says it is high time to do something, high time. When the Bible says again, again, don't sleep. Don't sleep. But people can't wake up, it seems. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. What was wrong with John? John fell asleep and he couldn't wake up from the fact that the devil had him bound. He couldn't let go. And he was asleep. Let us not sleep as others. It's time to wake up, right? It's time to wake up. It's time to say, Lord, here am I. It's time to be able to see that our time is running out. What time is it today? It's time to examine our life. You know, as we often read, at least in communion services that I have, I like to read Psalms. 139, verse 23 and 24 has these words. Listen to the words. The words is, search me. The words are, try me. Lead me. Lead me. What are we doing? We're seeing the fact that it's time that we do something between our relationship and God. Dear ones, this evening, what time is it? It's time to get close to God and His Word. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. There's a lot of questions that, or a lot of scripture references that have come to my mind. I'd like to share some of these with you. James chapter 4. I like to read verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Right? Yes. Draw nigh. Come close. Come close. And when you come close, the Lord will meet you. Yes, there's a sense where He will meet you. If you come to Him, He's going to do that. You know, when I got converted and I was sitting over there, and like I said, I had no idea what I was supposed to do or not do. But all of a sudden, it's like something pushed me to get up and go up there. The preacher wasn't even giving invitation. He wasn't given an invitation, not right that moment, but I decided to give up and go forward. You know, that's the time we have to move. That is when we do come to Him. Yes, cleanse your hands. Why? Our hands are dirty. Right? Our hands are dirty. We can go into a lot of examples of these. Purify your hearts. Purify. Make them pure. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. People wonder if I do anything for a living. I do. I don't work with my hands very much at all. I use my mouth and my mind. I am a counselor, and I have a counseling office, Rock and Refuge Ministry, it's called, and I have a lot of people come in there. Every day we have people sit down because they have problems. And you know one of the greatest problems, and a lot of these, by the way, are Anabaptist people, okay? I'm not picking on you this evening. I'm telling you facts, all right? I'm telling you facts. And I have had some that weren't, are not that. But let me tell you something. You know what the problem is? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I got a senior moment here. Yes, it is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. But ye know that what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. What is it? What's God's will for my life? What is God's will for your life? What if you want to meet Him face to face? And I hope that you do. This is what you got to do. It says, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as a Gentile, which know not God. Why is there so much problem today, people, our people, getting having to go to jail and court? I also... Work with people that do go to jail. Try to help them, and try to help them understand what they have done is wrong, and now there's consequences with those wrong. But there is a God that says, if you really mean business with Him, He will clean you in and out. I believe that. There's nothing impossible for Jesus and for God. There is nothing. We are to walk in sanctification and honor. Verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Holiness. Now, the one thing I look at this audience, where are your halos? Did you let them at home? Did you let them at home today? Halo. But you know, we have something more than a halo to show forth, right? We have a whole life. I would like to show the world my life. Yeah. You know, and there are times that I flop up just like everybody else. Yeah, there's times I have to go and apologize to my wife. Yeah. Because the way I may have answered or whatever it may be. Brethren and sister, what time is it? It's time to live in holiness and sanctification. Be holy for I am holy. And let me tell you something. That holiness didn't just start in the New Testament. It went all the way back to Leviticus chapter 11. When God told the Israelites, be holy, be holy. God is saying that to the world today. God is telling America that today. God's telling you and me that today, to walk in holiness. Leaving away the things of the flesh, the filth of the flesh. Yes, it feels good. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be in hell, and you're going to, if you keep on this, and it's not going to feel good, because that's going to haunt you for the rest of your time in eternity in hell. And that'll be forever. And ever and ever. Dear ones, tonight, what time is it? It is time to be real and the salt of the sinful world. Is your light shining? Is your salt have that strong, salty taste? You know, we think of that, and what are we talking about? We're talking about preservation. Good salt. At times, it's not so good. It's not so good. In Guatemala, we went down to the ocean, and they have places there where they dig the salt out. It's so interesting. Ye are the salt of the world. I remember one man asked me one time, he finally said, who are you? Who are you? because he's seen me before. I said, I'm salt. He looked at me.
Huh?
I said, yeah. He said, no, I asked you, who are you? I said, I'm salt. I'm salt. We are to be the salt of the world. And I finally looked at him and I said, I am a Christian. Oh, okay. So I told him, I says, I'm a salt and I'm a light. I had to come into the light. What about you? Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 says something like this. For ye were sometimes darkness. So we go back to John chapter 3. And it says that man loved darkness. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Because their deeds were evil. So let's be the right salt in this world. Let's be the right light in this world. What time is it? It's time that we become a real praying person. Yes. A real, genuine praying person. If we want victory in our lives, that's the only way to do it, brothers and sisters. Ephesians 6, it talks about what? Huh? Armor! Yes. Oh. And what does it say there? What are you supposed to do with it? Put it on! It does no good if you put it in a pile there and you decide when you see the enemy, you're going to go put it on, right? It may be too late. Put on that armor. It is time to put on that whole armor that God has given to us. Because Satan desires to have us. Jesus told that to Peter, remember? Jesus said, Peter, Satan desires to have you. And who am I? And who are you? Who are we? We need to remember what time it is. What time is it? It is time that we say no to the world. It's time that we say no to the world. 1 John 2. Will you turn to that with me, please? 1 John 2. And I'm going to stop. But I want you to see something here. 1 John chapter 2. Wrong place here. Maybe we know these verses by heart here. 1 John chapter 2. I like if... I'm just going to start reading in verse 15. Verse 15. I want you to read with me verse 15. All together, all those that can read. 1 John 2:15. Ready? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Get it? Get it? I think we kind of smooth that over, smooth mother over, with however you want to say it. If you love the world, the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. What does it take for God to help us to understand that? What does it take? The next verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Pride. God doesn't have pride, and we're not supposed to have pride either, right? Verse 16. For all that is in the world. Let me read that again. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I was teaching a young man that was in the depths of sin. He was a nice young man, but he couldn't quote, I'm quoting him, he couldn't help himself. So he would fulfill his lustful desires that he had. And guess who he did it? He did it with one of his siblings. Yeah, and this just got out of hand, and all of a sudden, guess who came knocking at the door? Authority. Authority. Somebody in the neighborhood saw what had happened and came, told the authority. The authority came to the house, and that young man was in real trouble. Why? He says, well, you know, I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself. Good excuse? I asked him, I says, well, did you ever read those verses? He said, yeah, I read them, but they never meant too much for me. But now I can see that I should have paid more attention, right? Dear ones, this evening, if you're saying no to God and His Word, if you're saying no to Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, the one who went all the way, the one that God the Father gave His only Son, and His only Son to come to this world and die for you and for me. I couldn't understand that when I heard these preachers preaching about Jesus Christ. You know what I told a couple preachers? I said, that was His problem. That's not my problem. No, you had the problem. That's why He wanted to die. I didn't ask Him to. No, but you're... deeds showed that you needed help. But you know, we find excuse after excuse to reject that Son. And I believe that that Father, God in heaven, looked all over heaven to find someone that can go down and save the human race. And there stood Gabriel. Yeah, the messenger. He thought, well, he'll make a good one to go down and die for the world. But then he thought, no, he's not good enough. So I'll send Michael, the archangel. You know, he was Mr. Tough. Yeah, he was Mr. Tough. I'll send him down. And no, he wasn't good enough either. And yet they had all those cherubims that were, study them. I think the study of the angels is a very interesting subject. Yeah, they were, we call it super, super powerful. Yes. But God said, it's not enough. And there by his side was his Son. He looked at the Son and he said, Son, I want to send you to earth. Son, we're going to have to do something to help the human race. They keep rejecting. They keep saying no. They keep just doing more and more sin. Son, I don't think the Lord, I don't think God asked His Son if He wanted to go. His Son, His Father said, go. But I want you to understand something, Son. And this is probably the hardest thing that God the Father did. It says, I want you to go, but I want you to understand something. I believe, yes, that Jesus looked at the Father. He said, Son, you will die. You will die. Now, I know that's just a, you would say, a little story. No, I believe in my small, finite mind. I believe something like that happened in heaven. And Jesus stood, Father, I will go. I will go. I will go to die for that human race. So they can come to be up here with us. So then we have Satan on one side. Oh, yeah. Or Jesus, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. But he forgot that Jesus wasn't gettable. Finally went to the cross. And there Jesus was. Between heaven and earth, he was. And he finally said, you know the story well, it is finished. Why? Because while Jesus was up there on that cross, he had pain just like you and I. The Father told him he's going to feel it. He was bleeding. He was all there. But let me tell you something. Jesus finally said, it is finished. What was finished? The great plan, of salvation. It's finished. And you know why? You know why, dear ones, this evening? Because you were there. You were there. And I was there. And I believe that's what helped me to understand the love of Jesus Christ for me. I can only see that. And when they were talking about the beautiful blood of Jesus, I said, these Mennonites had the most bloodiest religion that I ever saw. But they do. We do. I'm not ashamed of it. But he did it for me. And he did it for you. The blood of Jesus Christ. What was finished? The plan of salvation was finished for each and every one of us. You know, it's so interesting. We have a multiplicity of people here. English, Spanish, Pennsylvania Dutch, right? Pennsylvania Dutch. Canadians, some come from Canada. Yeah. We can all come to the altar. We can all come to the foot of Jesus Christ and all be blessed. We can. And dear ones, this evening, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that has not been able to look at themselves and take the time to reckon with the fact that if you're not saved, you're not going to make it to heaven. Today is the day of salvation, Hebrews says. Not tomorrow. Today it is. Will you come to Jesus Christ today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this moment. We thank thee, Father, for being here in our presence. We thank you for giving us the strength to carry out our responsibility this evening. We thank you, Father, for giving us such a beautiful evening. And we pray, dear Father, that as your word has come forth, that it might not come unto you void. We especially pray for that those individuals, Father, that have not taken the time to examine their life before you. Help them to do so before it's too late. We pray, dear Father, that we might also realize the time is short. The time is of essence, and it's important. And Father, we know that the trumpet is going to sound. And Father, are we going to be part of those that will lift their hands up in the air and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. If there's anyone here, Father, that would like to make that decision, we pray that you might give them the strength. While we're praying, I'd like to give an invitation. Is there anyone here that would like to come to the Lord? Just stand to your feet. I'm not going to be pushy, but I do want to give the opportunity. Anyone here this evening? Yeah, but you don't understand. My mother's here. My father's here. Or a young man that I like or a young lady that I like is here. It's time for you to do what God wants you to do. Is there anyone?